In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Today, February 16th, is Elizabeth Paratrovich Day in Alaska, marking the anniversary of the signing of an anti-discriminatory bill passed by Alaska's territorial legislature in 1945. The holiday honors the civil rights leader born Elizabeth Wanamaker in Petersburg, July 4, 1911. She was instrumental in the passage of that law during a time when women were rarely part of the political world and decades before the national movement for African American civil rights. Lately, Paratrovich has gained more national recognition with her face on a dollar coin issued by the U.S. Mint last year. She was also the subject of a Google Doodle at the end of 2020 and a biography written for teens published in 2019. Long before that, she was the focus of research for Petersburg resident playwright and actor Diane Benson. Joe Vicnicki reports with Benson about Paratrovich and her legacy.
My name is Diane Benson. My Thinkit name is Chais. I am from the Tuktentan clan. I originate from Sitka, actually, and where my family comes from. And we are of the Tahit house. So that is the snail house of the Tuktentan clan.
Benson has lived in Petersburg for about a year and a half, long enough to have taken part in last year's dedication of a new mural on Petersburg's courthouse that honors the Alaska Native civil rights leader. Paratrovich died in 1958, and Benson never met her, but she did come to know Roy Paratrovich Sr., the husband of the famous figure.
And he used to talk about his wife, and all I thought at the time was, wow, this guy really loves his wife. And the way he talks about her, he thinks so much of her. Well, it turns out a lot of people thought a lot of her once I got to realize, you know, and learn the history over time.
Benson also got to know their son, Roy Paratrovich Jr., and says the family generously shared personal letters with her as she researched the civil rights leader. Benson used that research to write and act in her 2001 play produced for the Alaska Native Heritage Center called When My Spirit Raised Its Hands.
I believe in racial pride, and I do not think this bill will do other than arouse bitterness.
Mr. Chairman, the natives are people who have been terribly treated by our society.
She also acted in the 2009 film called For the Rights of All, Ending Jim Crow in Alaska. Benson says learning about Paratrovich changed her.
Learning and seeing how Elizabeth had presented herself, especially in reading those personal letters to her kids, I was really struck with how calm and wise she was to use words to make a difference. Instead of your fists, you know, and up to that point, I think I was probably more fist leaning, you know, and I was so impressed with the power of oratory and then realizing that's so much a part of Thinkit culture.
According to a 1991 history of her life compiled by the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, Elizabeth Jean Wanamaker went to elementary school in Petersburg. She graduated from Ketchikan High School and went to Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka before studying at Western College of Education in Bellingham, Washington. She met Roy Paratrovich in 1931, and they first moved to Klawak, then to Juneau in 1941. They had three children. The Paratroviches were active in the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood. Elizabeth also represented the state in the National Congress of American Indians. The anti-discrimination bill was voted down in 1943 before it passed a second time around in 1945. There's no recorded audio of Paratrovich's famous speech from that year, but there are written accounts from witnesses. Benson says it was really significant to have that bill pass just decades after Natives secured citizenship and women and Natives the right to vote.
It was so symbolic, and it made it clear that that Native people matter. It made it clear that that we have a standard for society that is inclusive, and that sent a great uplifting message yeah, we were still going to continue to have problems. And some things did change overnight in the sense that now people felt like, oh, geez, I have to give this person an interview when they come in, whether I want to or not, or are they going to come into my restaurant now? It didn't mean the feelings changed overnight. It simply meant that we had some more opportunity.
That problem of racial disparity has not gone away, and Benson is hopeful that Alaskans will continue to talk about what racism looks like today. But she also wants to be mindful of the style of speech and how that can be important in moving forward.
We see the state of our nation today, the way words are thrown around very carelessly and in very harmful ways. And I think if we could revisit Elizabeth's style and remind ourselves that we can put principles before personalities and address the principles rather than attacking personalities, we might just get a little further and be more successful.
Benson recommends reading the 2019 book written for teens by Annie Bucheever called Fighter in Velvet Gloves. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
Faced with the prospect of another canceled cruise season, Ketchikan's borough is projecting a multi-million dollar deficit. But as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, despite the estimated $3.4 million shortfall, officials say the borough won't burn through all of its savings.
Ketchikan's borough finance director, Senna Gubitayo, told the borough assembly last month that she was expecting a vastly reduced cruise season to weigh on sales tax revenues. Those are the biggest source of the borough's general fund revenue. Property taxes go towards funding the school district. Now, after Canada announced it would keep its ports closed until next year, Gubitayo is revising those projections further. But she told KRBD Friday that the borough still has money in the bank.
So the borough is fortunate in that we do have strong reserves, and even having to revise our revenue figures downward for the loss of the cruise ship season this year or potential loss, we still have enough reserves that we do not have to take immediate drastic action.
Gubitayo says that doesn't mean they're going ahead as if it's a normal year. She's recommending the borough not start any new capital projects, not hire its seasonal workforce, and continue a freeze on almost all travel. But she and borough manager Ruben Duran say services shouldn't be cut and nobody should lose their jobs.
At some point, if the cruise industry and if the economic decline here goes too deep, I would expect that we'd have a much more severe hiring freeze. And I don't, at this point, the manager and I are not recommending making any kind of fee increases or adding new fees or taxes.
Part of the reason for that is that the deficit for fiscal year 2021, which runs from last July through the end of this June, wasn't nearly as big as the local officials initially thought it would be. A projected $3.2 million deficit was revised down to roughly $1 million. Gubitayo says federal pandemic relief filled some of that gap. The smaller-than-expected deficit is projected to leave the borough with an estimated $11.6 million in the bank at the beginning of July. That's more than three times the borough's projected deficit for this coming fiscal year. And more help could be on the way. The finance director says a Biden administration package now pending in Congress could provide as much as $2.7 million in federal relief for Ketchikan's borough. Gubitayo is scheduled to take questions about the impact of a canceled 2021 season on the budget at the Borough Assembly's meeting on Tuesday. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Seal oil has been a staple in the diet of Alaska's Inupiat for generations, but when elders entered nursing homes, they were cut off from the comfort food. State regulations kept it off the menu due to the rate of botulism associated with it. But that's changing for 18 residents at an elder care facility in Kotzebue. The local health association worked with partners in Alaska and the lower 48 to develop a process to kill the toxin in seal oil, and the state of Alaska has approved its use at elder care facilities, believed to be the first for seal oil in the U.S. A federal appeals court has sided with conservation and indigenous groups by ordering work to stop at a major oil project on Alaska's North Slope. The Anchorage Daily News reported that the decision Saturday by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals will stop on-the-ground work for the winter at the Willow Project operated by ConocoPhillips Company in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. This is KTOO News.